Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is finally Friday, and it's November 2nd, and you look rested and smiling and everything. Pretty different from yesterday.
Oh, no, I was definitely not smiling this morning.
No?
No, I'm smiling right now because it's like, why not?
You know? Yeah, exactly. You come in here, you leave all your problems behind.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Outside the door, right?
Exactly.
There you go. That's what I do, too, you know? That's why I enjoy this so much, because it's sort of like an escape.
Right.
You know, we get to sort of talk and shoot the shit, kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for listening, for joining us this morning. We do have a special guest. Actually, there'll be a couple guests here, and we'll get to them in just a moment. Yesterday, Casey said you left here all energized and everything. He was like looking at you. Remember? Because we had a good show yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
With the motivators and all that.
Yeah.
So I think you kind of got something from it, didn't you?
No, that was a very good show.
Right.
Yeah. He's a good guy. I follow him on Instagram.
We kind of showed you that, you know, you're wasting your time with people that are not right. I've been telling you this all along.
I know, God. Right? And I can't help it. I'm still losing sleep.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, like I'm still like,
I can't believe you, man.
I know.
It's all, I'm telling you, it was all your setup. You know, you set yourself up for that because it was a one-way story.
Yeah, he just wanted to sleep with me. That was it.
I think
100%.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, it's over and we'll move on and all that stuff. So
no, not yet.
Not yet.
No.
When
give me like, give me like a month.
Oh, really?
Like a month.
Are you gonna keep on bugging him or is that it?
No, never.
That's it, right?
Never.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he ever speaks to me again, he's gonna have to apologize.
So what are you? So you're mourning that the what would have been.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
It's going to take you a month.
But you know what? I was thinking about it. No, maybe even more. It's going to take me till I meet another guy.
That's
how it works. Like, you're obsessed with that person until you meet someone else and you're like, ew. Yeah, I can't believe I like that guy.
But that's after maybe a long relationship or something.
Nope.
No. Okay.
And I'm 30 and I'm desperate.
Well, that's you. Did you notice it's not freezing here today?
It's so cold.
It is in here?
Yeah. Oh, in here.
In here.
Oh, no.
No, it's not freezing. Yeah. We finally got him to fix it. We'll see until next time.
Right.
That it doesn't work.
It's about to be winter.
Yeah.
So, like, they need to chill.
I guess. I don't know. It's still warm outside, though.
Right.
So, yeah. So, the weekend is coming. Do you have any big plans?
I'm going to the roast of Odell Beckham tonight. You don't even know who that is, do you?
Odell Beckham?
He's a football player.
Okay, I don't know who the hell he is. So you're going to his party?
It's like a roast. Like, oh, you know how when Comedy Central did the roast of Justin Bieber?
Right.
They're doing it for him now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you're going to that?
Yeah, I'm going with a bunch of girls.
That'll be
maybe
nice.
Maybe my new husband will be there.
Yeah.
And I can move on.
Your new husband. Yeah, maybe he's waiting there for you. Who knows?
Oh, God.
I mean, if you're like so like counting the minutes until you find someone, what's going to happen if a few years go by and you don't find anybody? You're going to lose faith.
I'll be like 35, and if I don't have kids by then, I'm going to be so upset.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want to be an old mom.
No, I know, but don't put yourself under so much pressure, you know?
I'm not under pressure.
Although you got 5 years, you're going to find somebody good by then.
Ideally, I would want to have kids by like 33.
Okay.
Like 35 well, we'll is send like you pushing somebody. It for me.
We'll send you somebody. There's a song, Send Me
I
an
might
Angel.
Do like, I might do the artificial whatever it is.
Insemination?
Mm-hmm. Really? If I don't have a man by 33, I might just get myself pregnant.
So you're going to bring yourself kids without a father?
Yeah. Cause
do you think that's fair to the kids?
I mean, a lot of people do it.
Well, I know, but does it mean it's fair to the kid? I don't know, man. I think kids need both parents. So to me personally, I mean, look, I can understand when a woman wants kids and stuff, but I don't think it's as healthy to raise kids as a single mom, and it's harder, too, than with a father, you know?
But dudes ain't shit.
What?
Dudes ain't shit. Even if you have a baby with someone, like, look at my sister.
Right.
she's basically a single mom, and she had.
Well, but that's because she chose the wrong guy. You know, a guy that's responsible for his
kids. Knowing me, I'm probably going to choose the wrong guy.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
that's a track record.
Okay, so you might as well have a kid on your own.
Yeah.
Then you won't have to deal with it.
I'm just going to go find a bridge and jump off.
Oh, God. It's not that important. Come on, learn to live on your own. See, I'm so lucky that way. You know, my parents sent me here.
Yeah,
at
but
16.
You don't want to be by yourself. You're in denial.
Who, me?
Yes.
No, I'm not in denial.
You would be so much happier if you had someone, period.
I don't think so.
Yes, you would. We
not by a lot.
You talk about it all the time.
No, not by a lot. I don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't. Listen, I've been without anybody for a long time, right?
Yeah, but that's sad.
But I'm not complaining.
You want to die
I'm
by good. Yourself?
No. I'll eventually find someone. And I have good friends and stuff, you know.
Friends don't count.
Well,
I have lots of friends. That's not going to keep me warm no, at but the end
like,
of the night.
Friends like family. But yeah, no, you're right about that, you know. But I've gotten used to it. What
like, you should be going on dates. There's a speed dating event in North Hollywood tonight. You
I
should
know.
Go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I know I should date. And in Oregon, it's just going to be harder to find someone.
Yeah.
But I don't give a shit, man. Let me enjoy my life. I don't need to depend on somebody else to bring me happiness. I really don't. And I think maybe that's why I haven't been under pressure to get anybody.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Doesn't matter. So I haven't had sex in a while. Big deal.
I mean, yeah, that part, it's like,
I've
whatever.
Had a lot in my life. Yeah. You know? I mean, shit. I'm focusing on other things now.
I mean, that's crazy for a guy to say that, though.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like even if I was, like my dad's mentality, he's probably, like, after, like, 2 weeks, like,
oh. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, so what does that say? You're sort of like a slave to your sexual desires and drive and
but
stuff.
I feel like that's anybody in general.
No, I mean, look at me, and I'm always horny and stuff, you know? but what can you
welcome
do?
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show. It's okay, we're supposed to talk about cartoons and stuff, but animated stuff, but... But no, they'll be cool, you know. But I just wanted... Hold on just a second. We'll let you talk to everybody.
He wants to
wants
jump
to
in.
Jump
it's a good conversation.
I know, but let us finish and we'll come to you. Okay. Well, what did you want to say? Go ahead. Say it real quick before we introduce you.
Hello.
Hi.
No, you had something you wanted to say real quick.
I did.
Okay.
So I come from Argentina.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like... Buenos Aires is the second city in the world with most shrinks per capita.
Oh, great shrinks.
Really?
So we're getting into therapy now.
You should consider moving into Buenos Aires. I think you'll have a blast there.
Yeah, they'll analyze us, right?
Oh, God.
It's a lot of material here.
Yeah, right?
Oh, shit. We're both fucked up, basically. Yeah. And we need to live in a city with therapists.
Right. But no, I'm really serious about the fact that, you know, people look for different things. I feel really... free and liberated when I don't have to be with somebody. I mean, I like it. I love being with people. Don't get me wrong. I'm mm-hmm. around people all the time and stuff. But I have that instinct to be on my own too and be able to survive, you know?
Right.
And that's because I was on my own since I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so there you go. You know, people are different. We're two opposites when it comes to that.
What's your sign?
Because you Taurus. Yours
oh,
too,
yeah,
right?
That's yeah. weird, yeah.
Yeah, we're the same month.
Yeah.
So, but that doesn't mean anything. What the hell does
I know,
the,
when people like,
this is your sign.
What's your sign? I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you know, move on.
You can't date him. He's an Aquarius and you're a Taurus. I'm like, stop.
Yeah, I know. He's got moon and Mars and rising.
Yeah, I don't follow any of that.
Yeah.
I did read my horoscope today and it was pretty dead on though.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of freaks me out. I was like, wow, that's a little weird.
Yeah. Well, eventually everything's going to be right if you read it at the right time, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Stuff happens in your life all the time, so you never know.
Mm-hmm.
So forget that thing. That's bullshit. But I once went to an astrologist, and she was so accurate. She actually did my chart and everything, you know? It was so freaking accurate. I'm like, wow.
Maybe she... Sometimes I feel like when you call to make appointments, they like Google your number and then find out information
no,
about
but
you.
How could you find out? Nobody knew me. It was before cell phones.
Oh, that's true.
In Israel, too. I mean, nobody, you know. So, no, it didn't happen.
I mean, I believe in that type of stuff. I told you the other night I went to the club and that random girl came up to me and was like,
right.
Whatever guy you're talking to, run as far away as possible. She yeah. goes, that's it, and walked away. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, there you go.
Someone get me the tequila.
Yes, yeah, so they sent you a guardian angel, you see, to mm-hmm. warn you.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't listen.
No.
You ignore everything.
I know.
So tell me something just before we get to our guest. So are you speaking with your dad again? Is he speaking to you now?
No, he just paid my rent.
He just pays your rent without talking to you.
Mm-mm.
So how did he know you needed the rent?
I asked him for it.
Oh, so he didn't reply, he just sent the money?
No, he replied.
But that's it?
But that's it. We didn't have a conversation.
Wow, that's terrible though.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, he's feeling guilty, maybe. That's why
110%.
He's sending you the rent.
110%. 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the least you can do for not talking to me for 3 months.
That's true.
Almost four.
Silence treatment is the worst, man. My dad used to do it.
I feel like silent treatment is a tactical war move.
It is.
Like, say, for
it's
instance,
like passive-aggressive.
Yeah, like when you're like dating someone and they go cold turkey and ghost you, they might want to talk to you. They might want to know how your day is. But in their mind, they're like, war paint is on.
Right.
Silence is the best revenge.
Right.
When you say nothing, that's worse than saying anything.
Right.
Like, oh,
that's true, because you don't know what's going on.
Like, my guy friend has been dating this chick, but she's been like at all the parties. Like,
yeah.
Chris Brown has a party, she's there. You know, Diddy has a party, she's there. So he went off and like called her like a slut and a bunch of terrible names.
Wow.
And I was like, you fucked up. Because you should never talk to someone you like that ever.
Right.
Even if you're in your feelings. One, that makes you look so insecure and it's unattractive.
Right.
So she's been going ghost and he's losing his mind. Like,
really?
She put her read receipts on. So now every time he texts, it's just read. No response. He's been sending her flowers, candy, you name it. Nothing.
Wow.
But it's like she put the war paint on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to be careful when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're going to bring on our guest right now. We're joined by an Argentinian filmmaker by the name of Gaston Gorali. Welcome to the show, Gaston. You obviously can't sit that far and talk.
He's chilling.
Yeah, he's like,
yeah, I was relaxing.
You're almost in the other room, the way you sit back.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for joining us.
It was an entertaining conversation.
Yeah, sorry.
I feel at home already.
Good, good, good. I hope we didn't bother your appearance by a couple of F-bombs, but you can always edit it out later when you post the interview and
stuff.
Did
we swear?
You did a couple times, yeah.
See, I don't even notice when I do
it
anymore.
Because we do it not because we want to, but just because.
It's part of our language.
Like I told you, we say what we want. That's what you were asking about, right? That's what I meant. We don't have to censor ourselves.
You know what my last name means? It's in Hebrew, actually.
Gorali?
It
means like my fate?
My destiny.
My destiny.
Yeah, very good.
Gorali. Wow.
Goral Sheli.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
I would never be able to pronounce your name correctly, so I'm not even going to bother.
Try it out.
Wait.
Gorali?
Gorali.
Yeah.
But no, the last name?
Yeah.
That's
the last name. What is your first name?
He said,
Gaston. Oh, like in Beauty and the Beast.
Never heard that before.
You've never heard that before?
Yeah, every day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, no one has ever said that to you?
No, but with the name, we said it like you would say it in Hebrew. That's why it was hard for you.
Yeah.
I said Gorali, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just, it's pronounced differently.
So are you Spanish?
I'm from Argentina.
Yeah, Argentinians. So you're Spanish.
You speak
Spanish.
Spanish,
right?
We speak Spanish, yes.
Okay, but that's not quote-unquote Spanish?
No, Spanish is from Spain.
Okay.
Right, right.
So where's Argentina?
South America.
Okay.
Spain is in Europe.
I'm really bad with geography.
Yeah, she's not good with geography at all.
Thanks for explaining. I didn't get that.
You put her down on Ventura Boulevard, she won't know where to go.
She said, where's Argentina? It's the fifth largest country in the world.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, people talk about going there all the time. I just have no clue.
Yeah. Buenos Aires, have you heard of that?
No, I mean, that's like good morning, right?
No.
In Spanish?
No.
Means like good afternoon.
No, that's good air, right?
It means good air and also means the capital.
Yeah. You're lost with geography. We're not going to take you there at all. I need to remember that.
Yeah.
Because then it doesn't look very good.
No, it doesn't. You're going to get an email like, she's stupid.
In geography class, she was daydreaming about boys. That's, that's what happened. So, Gaston, do you live here or are you visiting now?
No, I'm visiting. We are making a part of a tour for screening our new animated short film. We produce films and TV shows in animation from Buenos Aires to the world.
Really?
Yes.
And did you start this company?
Yes.
Really?
I did.
And it's called what? Mundo Loco?
Mundo Loco. How about that?
Yeah.
What does that mean? You're crazy?
Something
it means crazy world.
See,
crazy
I knew world. So, as soon as I heard Loco, I was like, crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Mundo's world, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
So it's
so we're learning
Spanish.
You can
pronounce that, Mundo Loco.
Yeah, Mundo Loco.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
How long is that flight?
it's long.
Like over 20 hours?
No, no, no. It's from December on, we'll have a direct flight connecting LA to Buenos Aires.
Right.
Uh-huh. I think it's going to be probably 12 or 13 12, hours.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like going to London, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. It's pretty far, man. What time zone are you in? Do you know? Like
what time is it there?
Right now?
Yeah.
I can tell you. It's 4 hours ahead.
4 hours ahead. Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
We see the future.
I see. Very cool. Crazy World is the name of your company. That's awesome. When did you start it?
So, here's the story. I always wanted to be in films, but I was a business major. So I said, I'm far off, trying to please my parents.
Right. See, everyone always wants to please their parents.
Well, yeah, at a certain point. That's why I went to the shrink. That's why we have so many shrinks. And then I said, screw this.
But you feel you have to when you're a kid,
well, they made a lot of efforts to raise you. And then you know that they made a lot of mistakes as well.
Right.
And that you have to choose your own path. No one is going to do it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it took me a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in immediate changes. I believe in, a path that you have to struggle and commit to it.
Right.
And so one day I quit my job. I was working here in the US for a big advertising company as a creative director. But I always wanted to do films, real films, not just TV commercials and stuff.
Right.
And then one day I quit. And then I said, what have I done? Argentina was in a major crisis, as always.
Right. Well, I didn't know that, but...
Well, every 10 years we have a crisis. So whatever every 10 years, I'm sure you will have a crisis in Argentina.
Right.
But still, home is home.
So yeah, yeah.
I headed back and I started an idea house. I wanted to have a house to create ideas.
Wow.
Like an actual house.
Cool. It was actually my backyard, So
yeah.
So I had a laundry room that I turned into my office.
Right.
And one day I was there. I did a first show in animation, just out of the blue. I never had a connection with animation other than being a kid and watch cartoons.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So who made that animation? You just saw it, you mean? And you
It started I met a friend who said, we're looking for a TV show.
Uh-huh.
It was a good friend of mine who worked for a big company. And I said, I have an idea for a TV show.
Ah.
And a year later, we won the pitch, and that's how I got into animation. But then, after I finished that show, I was wanting to see what I was going to do next, and I said, I want to do this short story. I read a short story, and I said, I never wrote a movie or anything. I'm going to try to hire the best writer I know, which... his name is Juan José Campanella. He's an Academy Award-winning director.
Jeez, that's long. That's a long name.
Really? Why? It's a first, middle, and last
name. I think it's cool, but it's so long.
Let's try it out. Juan José.
Juan José.
Campanella, which means...
It sounds Italian.
It is.
Oh, he's Italian.
Well, he's Argentinian, but we have
is Argentina... close to Italy?
No, very far. But he's
an amazing conversation.
He's trying, he's trying to tell you the guy came from Italy and he's got an Italian name, but he's in Argentina at the time.
Well, his family, it's a country of immigration.
Right.
Like the
US.
Right. Let's assume we are all in America and we have similar immigration.
Don't ask anything about geography whatsoever, okay?
All right,
because you're not doing very well this
morning. I know, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to protect you. Listen to me.
So Campanella is a big name in filmmaking in Latin America. Went twice to the Oscars, foreign film, best foreign film, best foreign language film nomination, he was nominated twice, and one he won it.
Really?
Yeah, wow. He's an Emmy winner, and he directed many TV, big TV shows here in the US, like Law and Order, House MD.
Oh, Law and Order.
So he's a big personality in Latin America for filmmaking.
So how did you meet him?
I just sent him an email out of the blue, you know.
Really?
I said, like, I'm nobody and I have this idea. I want to turn this short story into an animation film.
So you asked him to write the script for it?
So he said, like, I'm directing Law and Order. Right now I'm in the U.S. I will come back to Buenos Aires in 6 months. And he said, why don't we meet in 6 months, one specific day at one specific time at one specific restaurant?
Right.
And we never have seen each other. So I waited for 6 months.
Whoa, that's a long time to wait.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and can you imagine me practicing the pitch of this film for 6 months?
My God.
Talk about anxiety.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
So the first time we met, the day eventually came, I went to the restaurant. I'd never seen this guy in my life. You know, I knew him, but he didn't know me.
Right.
So he walked in, and as soon as he sat down on the table, I started to pitch the hell out of the story, you know?
Yeah.
And in 2 minutes.
You didn't waste his time, right?
I was done. They
you didn't even let him order a mimosa or anything
first? No, they didn't bring nothing, you know, not even the bread. And I was done. And the guy was kind of shocked, you know? So he stood up and I looked at him and he said, like, I'll be right back. And I said, like, I'm going to get the check because this guy's never coming back.
Right,
you know,
right,
he's
right. going
to go through the back door and call a cab, you know, which is what I would do if this cycle. Like,
what a rejection there would be, you know? Go on.
Yeah, who's not used to that, right? So so he came back from the bathroom, you know? He said, like, I'm going to a toilet. So he came back.
I'm going to the toilet.
Yeah, he came back and he said, like, I was thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
In the toilet, which I learned afterwards that it's a place of inspiration for him.
Right, right.
And he said, like, I want to write this because I always wanted to do animation, but I didn't have the time, and this is the right time.
Right.
I'm a father now, I want to do this. But I would also would like to direct the film if you're willing to. And that's how it started.
Wow.
Very nice. Very cool.
And eventually it became the largest film coming out of Latin America to date in animation.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
In animation.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the animation and then we'll continue talking about you and everything. But so people know what we're talking about, because an animated movie is hard to talk about unless you see it, you know, because like a real action movie is like, you know what people look like, you know what kind of to expect. But here it's like, what kind of animation are they going to use and, you know, and all that stuff. And I just want to say that I was in animation for many years when 3D animation started being popular, like 1990 or so. I went and got myself a Mac. I taught myself, bought some very expensive software, really, at the time. And I started making animation. So I've always like that, you know, I've always been into it and I totally appreciate it. And the fact that you don't have to be a kid to enjoy an animated movie, right? You like Pixar movies and stuff, right?
I'll go to the theater to see it.
Right. So, but in your case, Gaston, tell us about, so the name of the movie is Ian, right? And we'll talk about what it's about and everything. But the animation itself, I looked at the trailer, which was it's a very emotional movie.
Oh.
How long is it?
It's 9 minutes.
9 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's enough time to tell a story, you know. And that's a lot of animation too, right?
Yes. So a couple of things about it. So the Ian story, I think the most important thing out of it is not even that it's animation, but the most important thing about it is the subject that it
Right.
And the subject is bullying and discrimination and how we integrate as a society in the whole world. You know, this doesn't mean, you know, we were screening the film in schools here in LA the last couple of days. And we just won awards throughout the world, like from New Delhi Film Festival to LA Short Film Festival.
Yeah. And so you think it's more thanks to the story than to the fact that it's animated and
absolutely.
To the visual
animation
part?
Is a
really?
Animation is just a tool, you know?
Right,
like
tell a story.
Exactly. So
I think so too.
The only important thing is what stories are you willing to tell and how it connects with audiences, you know? And this is a no-dialogue film.
Wow. So you just pretty much... So you have to really show a lot of emotion and communicate and everything without words. Wow.
Yes, that's the power of filmmaking. That's the power of cinema.
Right.
That's crazy.
It
Where can
we
watch
crazy.
It?
You can watch it right now if you want.
YouTube?
But, no, it's not released yet. We're releasing it in November.
Because you have to wait till after the film, all the festivals are done, right?
In some of them, yes, mm-hmm. but we are about to release it in November. December the 3rd is the International Day for People with Disabilities,
mm-hmm.
and we would like to commemorate that, releasing the film prior to that date. So
right.
It's amazing what happened with the film. The story behind it is that one day, you know, we're doing TV shows. That's how we live, our studio, Mundo Loco. We do TV shows and we do films, and one day... Sheila, who is Ian's mother, just, you know, walked
in. What do you mean his mother? Did she do his voice? Or are you talking about a real story?
I'm talking about the real story.
So there's
story.
A, so Ian is a real story.
This is based on a true story, yes.
Okay.
Ian is a boy who is now 10 years old, mm-hmm. and this event happened when he was 6. This is actually based on a true event.
Right.
And the event was that Ian was going to a rehab center for kids with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And right across the street from that rehab center, there was an elementary school. And every time Ian and his mother, Sheila, were walking into the rehab center, the kids from the school gather against the fence and
made fun
of them. Yeah.
That's sick.
Wow.
You know, that's what you initially think, you know,
right.
like these sick boys, why are they not playing football or soccer or whatever?
Right.
Why, you know, they can. Why they bother themselves just making feel bad a kid that is suffering enough?
I know.
But then you realize it's not that these kids are mean. It's just that society is ignorant.
Mm.
And the question is how we create tools to fight that ignorance. And that ignorance, you can find it anywhere, you know, and it's not about being disabled or anything. It's about how we, as human beings, can bond with each other without hurting ourselves.
Right.
Right.
And how we treat each other, and you know. But the kids do what kids do, right? I mean, kids don't really understand much. And they're like, oh, you know, he's different. We're going to make fun of him. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, when a kid was different... they were outcasts.
Yes, and let me just say this. I don't think it's a kid's problem. I think it's an adult problem.
Yeah?
In this sense. When Sheila, you know, she was taking back to the story, she was so pissed off, you know, and frustrated and
right.
with anger. So she went, knocked the door on the school and talked to the headmaster and said, like, what are these kids learning? You know, how do you cope with this issue? And they said, we have virtually no tools how to deal with people that are different to this kid. So she said, well, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to pay for this. And she self-funded it and she hired an illustrator and she wrote a book about a kid, one day in the life of a kid with disabilities. So she told Ian, every time someone will make fun of you at the street or at a birthday party or mm-hmm. whatever, we're going to have a book in my purse and we're going to give him
a book.
And aww. This is how we're going to fight this.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing, you know, proactive way to deal with some negative emotion and turn it into like a positive action.
That's true, right.
So so she came with this book and said, like, can we turn this into some kind of audiovisual material so we can widen and spread this message faster because, you know, it's
right.
faster.
Right.
So I took that book home. And I was thinking how to turn it into a film, and I kept thinking about the true story that originated that book.
Right.
So I went back to her and said, like, listen, we want to help you, we want to
right.
do this with you, but I want to tell that I want to start with the true story because there is nothing like being honest, and sometimes honesty is hard, you know.
It's right. not
something that is an easy thing.
Right.
And a lot of people think, well, kids, you know, you have to be condescending and you have to, and kids are smarter than we are and they are kinder than we are because we are, as soon as we start raising ourselves, you know, and we start getting this thick skin
mm-hmm.
and we start trying to not being bothered.
Right.
And perhaps we as adults don't say anything to a person with disability, but we don't look. We don't
right.
want to interact.
Right.
We outcast them in any
way. We still do the
way.
Same thing.
Absolutely.
It's just we don't make fun of them.
And it's even worse.
Right.
Because, you know, at least the one who is making fun is connecting.
Right.
In a sick way, but it's connecting.
Right.
We tend to, so I think we need to learn how to open ourselves to different point of view and different
That's true. Beings, that's true. Yeah. So that's why you call this, like you say, people are ignorant because they don't know this stuff.
Well,
they
we all are.
They don't think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm including myself in this thing. You know, I learned a lot through this process, which I didn't know before.
Yeah.
So it's about putting out this message, and this is why it's important. And this is why I'm so grateful that I'm here talking to you guys because we need the help to widen this message and to show it to the world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I mean, you know, to be excluded by kids when you're so young anyway, you don't understand what's going on. And just watching the trailer, it gets pretty emotional, you know. I mean, it's painful. It's painful for the kid and stuff. And when you look at it in a movie or in a book or stuff, you can look at it objectively and go, something's wrong with this picture. But when you're there doing it, it seems like the natural thing to do.
Right.
To make fun out of people that are different.
No, I never have.
No, but
never in my life. I never understood
kids,
it either.
Yeah.
I used to get made fun of too. I used to eat lunch, like in high school, I used to eat lunch in the bathroom.
Well, we all did.
I think,
you know?
Yeah, I think everybody
if
did,
if you start
right?
talking to people.
Right.
You don't have to be disabled to feel like it.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I think that's why it's connecting with audiences worldwide. Not just about, it's not about pity. It's about we all felt that we don't belong
at
certain points of our lives. And we all felt that people told us you cannot be here even if you want to.
Right.
And I think the story is about how you overcome that and how you connect without the frustration and the anger, but through love.
Right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Very impressive. Let's talk a little bit. Okay, so let's give credit to some of the other people before we forget, right? So you have Abel Goldfarb,
who is our talented director, and we have Sheila, who is the main, Sheila Graczynski, who is the Ian's mother I was talking to you about, and she's...
Yeah, so she's the real mother, and she's doing the voice, right?
No,
there's no dialogue.
There's no dialogue.
Oh,
she's
that's right.
Producer
as well. Oh, she's a producer. That's right.
Like,
no
dialogue.
I'm like thinking of voice actor. No.
Well, but she's portrayed in the movie because Ian, you know...
Obviously, you have to have the mother there.
Appears there. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that it's important is that animation is a very highly collaborative effort. You know, no one can take it solely credit for this. And this is another lesson that I learned through my my career so far, is that animation is really about a team.
Right.
And you can have someone here talking like I'm doing, but I couldn't be here if about 60 people for a year long work extra hours to complete this. You know?
60
and this
people.
This is a non-profit project. You know? So it's
but that's
made
how,
with a lot of love.
That's how much work there is, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, to tell a story, just think of the technical part of making things, you know? Let's say the director says, okay, we need to make him, like, cry or something, right? Then the whole technical team has to figure out, or the artist figure out how it's going to look, and then you're going to have the actual animators building the character on the computer and all that stuff. But
we even, sorry to interrupt, we even have put ourselves in an uncomfortable position because we wanted to challenge technically ourselves as a studio.
Right.
So we used a very unusual technique.
Right.
Which, if you see the backgrounds, the sets are all created with models like in stop motion.
Right.
So we created real models like...
I mean, the whole movie looks like stop motion, right? I
but
mean, was that by design?
Yes, and the characters are CG, actually.
Right, that's what I figured.
So we have a combination of the two techniques. One is very old and antique.
Right.
And if you see in detail, all the backgrounds are made with recyclable material. So you
find
pieces of trash turned into
that's
art.
That's crazy. I didn't even know that. I thought it was all like hand drawn.
No, it's actually
model. 3D animation is you create on the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you film it like a movie. So, for example, you'd build in quotation marks, this can.
Right.
Right? But then you don't have to keep redrawing all the time. Then you put like a virtual camera and it goes around it and stuff. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
but
I
it's
know.
Still as hard as it was drawn because you do it frame by frame. Right. So there's no magic with computers.
Right,
you know?
Right.
What do you mean by recycled material as far as the background?
So you see the trees and you see right. the school. And you, so beneath that, we have plastic trays from
oh, I see. Okay.
And forks that are turning to
so those are like trees. Real, right? Those are not animated.
No,
computer.
That's a model
okay,
created.
Okay, gotcha.
Like a 3 feet long model, right. huge. Wow. And then we photographed all that and filmed it and then integrated in within computers yeah. with the CG characters.
Yeah.
So it's wow. all blended in.
Yeah,
very that's crazy.
Cool. Now, and as far as the look, why do people have like flaky skin? Or is it just one person?
No, all of them.
All of them do. Why is that?
They are
this is the style?
Well, the idea is that, and it's an important part of the film, is that we all are created by, we are not only one thing, we are
right.
many things.
Right.
And we can, you know how sometimes you make something and then you undo it? You mm-hmm. do something, then mm-hmm. you undo it, mm-hmm. and then you redo it.
Right.
So this idea of doing, undoing, and redoing, it's what we wanted to, and I think this is why animation is such a great tool. This is what we wanted to convey visually, that we can disarm ourselves and then rebuild ourselves in a better way.
Right.
And yeah. that's the thesis behind the movie.
Right. Right. So it looks like flaky, but they're made of little cubes and
yes,
stuff. Okay.
Exactly.
That's very interesting. Should I send you the... I'll let you look at the trailer later. But
right.
You
Did
guys
you
should
email
be able
it to me?
See it. It's on Vimeo. I can email it to you, but I should probably do it right now, right?
Yeah, because you'll forget.
The link. But the thing is... Is that I'm trying to remember your email. Do you want to even give it on the air? You don't.
Absolutely not.
Okay, so just wait to see it, okay?
I'm like, yeah, let me just shout that out really quick.
Yeah.
For sure.
Let me show you a little, maybe I'll find like a still picture or something.
Can you just flip that around so I can just
yeah,
see
yeah,
it?
I am. Hold on a second, just so you can get an
wait,
idea
did you email it this morning?
Of the art. Yeah,
oh,
I did
I can't
email
see.
It to you.
This
you
is not going
to
work.
Okay, so you have it in your email.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, there's a link there to Vimeo.
Okay.
All right, so take a look at that. But I mean, I like, you know what I like? I can see a lot of work has been put into this.
Yes, indeed.
A lot of work.
A lot of work. And
so 60 people, huh?
Yeah.
Is that, and did you have to hire them as freelancers? Or was that like a single studio that had 60
well,
people?
Well, we have our studio in Buenos
so
Aires.
This is your studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
This
gotcha.
Is a Mundo Loco production.
So you hired 60 people to do this movie?
Well, we have full staff, you know. So
wow, but that's a big company.
Well, it's medium size, yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of people. I mean, I would think a production company probably have like a few people and then you farm it out to other studios.
That's
like
very
that.
True as well. But right. Since we are in current productions, we have full staff right now. So
that's
we are
true.
Producing.
Might as well.
And every project in animation takes forever, you know. Like,
right.
I remember Campanella, you know, this was his first, the feature we did, Metegol, Underdogs Call in the US. It was his first animated feature. So he was going to one of the animators, you know, and said like, oh, can the character raise the eyebrow a little bit?
Right.
And the animator would say like, yeah, sure, come back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
Come oh my back God.
This is how slow it is.
I just
you know?
Watched the trailer and the animation's crazy.
Yeah.
Super cool.
And the story, I mean, you can tell.
That's why we are Mundo Loco.
Right.
Yeah, without even the sound, you can tell that. You know, something's going on.
Right,
you
yeah.
can
check out the music,
on.
Then.
Well,
because
I put it on mute.
The music is amazing.
Yeah.
Really?
I put it on mute because we're on air.
Yeah. So the boy is on a wheelchair. Falls into pieces. Wow.
Yeah.
See, that makes you want to see this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the movie is Ian... worldwide premiere November 30th. Okay, so on November 30th, where can people see it if they
yeah,
want to?
Yeah, so in Latin America, I'm going to talk about Latin America and the U.S. as well, right?
Okay.
So in Latin America, something amazing happened, like is happening with this film, is that all the big networks, Disney, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, Discovery Kids and YouTube Kids gathered together to premiere this same movie at the same date at the same time.
That's crazy.
Which never happened before.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. Yes, it's a very big deal.
We are very, very happy about
that. And they're all going to screen the movie on their channels then?
At the same date, at the same time. At the
same time.
And then YouTube Kids, yeah, you will be able to watch it here in North America through YouTube Kids.
YouTube Kids, okay. And so this is going to be available. And what was I going to ask you? Because there was something about, never mind, I'll come back to that. But it does happen.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Brain fart per show.
Happens to the best of us, yeah, for sure.
That's what happens when you smoke a lot of dope, kids. Stay away from weed. Okay, so the same time, the same day, I was thinking that this is like anticipation for you, like it was for this guy for 6 months. You know, I'm waiting for the same hour, the same day, you know, until this happens. It all happens to you in one...
Well, it happens to all of us. She's waiting for the right guy at the right time.
So. Right, and then it comes, right? Yeah.
Oh, it's never happening.
Except she doesn't know how long she'll have to wait for. That's what I... Yeah. But, so the movie has a very important lesson, I think, for people. And then I think mainly, I mean, I don't want you to give away the whole movie, but I just imagine that not being included... with other people is probably the worst feeling that, because we're social animals, you know. I mean, think if you're cast out of a group of people, it's got to be like the worst feeling, don't you think?
I mean, it's definitely a bad feeling, but I think other people handle it differently. Like some people are strong enough to be like, I'm good on my own.
Yeah, but a kid, you know, I mean, a kid on a wheelchair.
Yeah, no,
that's
horrible.
Hard.
Yeah,
that's hard.
For sure.
You know,
I would never laugh at somebody who's in a wheelchair. That's right. Horrible.
Right, but that's the thing. I mean, we don't know what they go through, and my heart breaks every time I see that, because you go, it's a kid, you know, they should be able to play and run around and everything, and yet they're on a wheelchair, they feel left out. I mean, you know, in fact, you know, so he's got cerebral palsy.
Yes.
The kid. Okay, so I have someone who's a Facebook friend who also has that, and he's on a wheelchair, his whole body is kind of like... distorted almost, and so, but he tries every time, every week he comes up with something new that he's doing. I have a website, I have this, I'm writing a song, I'm doing this. He doesn't give up, you know, and he does video and stuff, and you look at him and you go, yeah, it's hard to look at, it's hard to connect to, you know what I'm saying? And I felt that. So when you say we're all like that, I agree with you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on in. I think
one thing is important about, for example, things that happen with this film is that, as you know, it's a non-profit effort. And it was very hard to raise the money to do it. And we funded with the Ian Foundation, and Mundo Loco funded the film.
Right.
And, for example, at one point, you know, I don't know if you can... play a little bit of the music to the audience, because
of course I can.
If you can play the beginning, you will hear one of the amazing compositions that our talented composer made.
Right.
And he has this beautiful piano. And I said, you know, let's keep it to piano because we have no money to buy an orchestra. And let's keep it simple also because it makes sense, you know?
Right.
So what happened is that at a certain point, you know, he said, like, you know, there is a part of the film that we'll need, you know, more instruments. We'll need the strings and we need...
Right.
Like, well, forget about it. And
but they can do it with a computer today, right?
Yes, but it's not the same.
Not the same?
No, it's not the same. So so he went to make another film in Europe. And he was actually in Macedonia and Eastern Europe. And what happened is that he told the story with the musicians from the Philharmonic Orchestra were saw the movie and they said, we love this. And in their lunch break, they recorded all the instruments.
That's awesome. Oh, okay. So let's do this.
So they are in the credits as well.
Yeah. And let's just do a few seconds of it because someone beautiful just walked in the studio and I'm like totally taken aback because you said, so you are Sheila, right? You're Sheila?
Yes, I'm Sheila.
Yeah, welcome Hello. To the show. He told us you'd be here. I didn't realize it would be the last minute. But thank you for joining us. No, you missed out on a great show, but we'll focus on you for a few minutes. So welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you.
You're visiting also from Argentina?
Yes, I'm visiting from Argentina.
Uh-huh.
I was a bit late because I had the opportunity of being in a school showing the short film to the students.
Wow.
And
it's amazing, right? Because you don't have to translate the language or anything. There's no dialogue there.
Yes, that's one of the best things about the film. It's universal and it's straight to the heart, and
it really is, you know. It grabs you. I mean, I only saw the trailer and I felt wow.
Well, the trailer is beautiful too, by the way.
Right.
And in a way it's very nice when you get to see that people from different countries and different cultures are all together moved by inclusion and uh-huh. showing that when we talk about inclusion, there's no time to be waste.
Right, right. So you're Ian's mother in real life, right?
Yes.
Wow. So you're the one that started all this, got this going, right? I mean, you're the one that knew about the story. You're the one that told it.
Mm-hmm.
What did you decide to go out there and find somebody? How did you meet Gaston?
Well, I met Gaston after a situation I had taking my son to a therapy center where in front of that center there was a school and children from the school would bully at him and at his friends getting into the treatment center. So in a first place, I went to the school. I tried to talk with the teachers and all the people there, but I realized that what we had to do was in a way transform that madness, that angriness into action, into love, and started to teach people how they could do to get involved and to include. Because we talk a lot about inclusion, but we don't give the children,
right.
We don't teach them.
Right.
So,
and we were talking about this because as adults we're like that, right?
Yes.
I mean, so the kids kind of take on after us, I guess, right? But it's our responsibility, really, to set the example for the kids,
mm-hmm.
Yes,
for the children.
And if we give them the examples, and you can see the change in the children. The same child that maybe would laugh at another pair, if he knows how to include, if he knows what to do, that's a great change.
So that's true.
In the very beginning, I wrote a book, and during 1 year, in every situation, Jan felt uncomfortable or somebody would be staring at him, we would give a book in a way to make this transformation of angriness into love.
Right.
So we said, okay, it would be great if we can take this into an animation format. So, well, Jan had seen Metegol, it's called in Argentina, here, Underground. Yes.
Underdogs is a movie Underdogs. I was Underdogs. Telling you about.
So you saw that movie?
Oh, yeah, I saw that movie. He really liked it.
He liked it.
So I said, okay, who made this movie?
Wow.
And I went and
I wish my mom had such an initiative, you know?
That's going to be me when I'm a mom, for sure.
Yeah, I saw it two or three times. So I said, okay, let's try to do something like that. And I went and I knocked at Gaston's door.
Wow.
They received me. We didn't know each other, but well, since the moment I was able to share with them my dream, they started dreaming with me and, well, working for 1 year into turning this.
Yeah, wow, mm-hmm. Wow. So it's a good connection because you were looking for something to do and she had the story for you,
mm-hmm.
And it went together.
Yes, actually, I wasn't looking for something.
You weren't looking for something.
We were very busy.
Okay.
But
all right, well, so much for that.
But the reason why I'm saying is not that I wanna call you out. It's that just that when I heard Sheila's story, I couldn't stop but thinking how could I help.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was trying
to
mean.
So that's how it happened. Yeah. Well, I don't blame you because obviously you love your son very much. That you've done everything you can to make it easier on him, you know. So he didn't come with you on this trip now?
No. He's in Argentina. He's studying at school.
How old is he now? 10, you said?
Jan is 10 years old. Uh-huh. I always like to tell that the story is based on a situation we live with Jan, but we work in Argentina. I have a foundation for many children that are in Jan's situation. And what we want to do is to take this message around the world. As I said in the very beginning, there's no time to be waste. Right. And we all have to get involved in some way.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing, you know, because when you talk about it and you get educated about it, you can't continue bullying, you know, because then you understand, you have the awareness, you know. Hopefully you have the empathy and you're not a mean bastard or whatever, you know, in real life, that you're going to continue being mean to someone even after you know what you put them through when you bully them.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the film, we have some real footage of Ian and his friends.
Yeah.
And you can see when you have a school that integrates kids that are different.
Right.
The more affected is not just Ian,
right,
but all the kids that are surrounding him.
Right.
And they are raised with a better understanding of life and humanity.
Right, right. Well, we are out of time. So, wow, there's so much more to talk about, you know, but I guess let the film speak for itself. We're going to have to wait till November 30th to see that.
On YouTube Kids.
Right. And yeah. But on TV, so the TV part of Disney and all that, this is only in South America?
That's Latin America.
Okay.
And probably we'll do it rest of the world as well, you know, but we'll
take
one step at a time.
Okay, so YouTube Kids, just look it up and see. That's going to be amazing. Gaston Guarelli, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You're amazing. How can people contact you, maybe on social media or something?
Yeah, just go and check our website. I will give the website of Mundo Loco. It's mundolococgi.com.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Sheila will give the foundations.
How can people contact the foundation?
Also, in social media, you can find us searching Jan's Foundation, Fundación Jan. You will find it, and it's fundacionjan.org.ar.
Can you spell that? Just spell that out for the people.
Fundación Jan. Jan Foundation.
Because I'm like,
Fundación Jan. Just look it up on
Google.
Google
Jan Foundation.
Jan Foundation, exactly.
And Google, where is Argentina? Yes.
We're not going to start spelling things to people on the air now.
Jan's short, you'll find it.
Awesome. Help out.
Well, Sheila, thank you so much for joining us as well. I wish you were here the whole show, but you guys are welcome back anytime. We wish you. So any awards?
Yes, many. Yeah.
Many lucky awards, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So we are in more than 20 festivals, international festivals, and we collected 5 awards internationally, all the way from New Delhi to LA.
Yeah.
And we were very, very lucky that it was embraced by the film community and by audiences worldwide.
Right. And you get the best publicist, too, because every time Catherine brings in somebody, they win awards, you know?
Well,
sometimes Oscars literally as well, so... Mm-hmm. There we go, Catherine. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Have a great weekend. Danny, try to stay away from the wolves, please.
I'm going to try.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you all on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.